Hey, we're back. Welcome to another episode of Light It Up Live, where we're igniting minds and elevating fate. I'm your host, I'm John, but I don't do it alone. I got my boy Josh with me.
What's up, Pimpin? How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, my brother? It's going to be a great show today, man. We are on episode 31. And guess what, brother?
What's up? We got a special guest, don't we?
We got a special guest.
Hey.
We got a special guest, my brother, Mr. LaShawn Pryor. Boy, it's going to be fire, man. Wait until you hear his voice, Josh. I think you got to speak to him a little bit while he was in the green room. Wait until you get to hear Mr. Pryor, man. He's such a great guy.
He got
guy.
That good Showtime voice, huh?
He does, man. He
yes,
does.
Yes.
For guys that are watching a video, you got to excuse my lag of video, but we got a new studio computer coming in. Hopefully next week it's going to be here. So, but we're going to get through it as long as the voice is good. But as always, man, when we get started, we like to let you guys know how we came up with Light It Up Live. Our good buddy Impact pulled it out the Bible. And it comes from Genesis 1:3-4. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. That's what we try to do here on Light It Up Live. We try to bring a little bit of light into a dark world, one episode at a time. Yeah. Josh, man, Mr. LaShawn Pryor, I met him online on a Facebook podcast group. And man, he's a sports broadcaster. He played arena football. He does motivational speaking. He's got his own podcast that's I think 110 shows or something like that in now. And yeah. Man, just a great guy. And I can't wait for him to join us, man. He'll be joining us very shortly, you guys. You guys, as always, don't forget, go to YouTube. Check our YouTube channel out. In the search bar, put at Light It Up Live, all one word. And do us a favor. Hit that subscribe button, man. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button and share it. Share it out. It's absolutely free. It'll always be free. And we're also over on YouTube, Rumble. All at the same time in Facebook, man. So episode 31, Josh, here we
are. 31. So what are we talking about on episode 31?
Episode 31, it's all for our special guest, brother. We're bringing our special guest up, and we're going to interview him. We're going to hear his story, man. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. But first, I'd like to try to pay some bills, man. How about that W, bro?
How about that W, boy?
You know
I am
always,
liking that, man. I am.
I know. It's good. As always, I got my W here, man. You guys don't forget to check out W. If you go to W.GG, they've got so many great flavors. It's clean, smooth energy, no sugar added, so many unique flavors. And it's, I think their big secret, I think, is they got coffee fruit extract in it, man. Sharper mental health. It's delicious. It's fantastic. And then when you guys go there at checkout, if you put at Light It Up Live for the discount code, they get 10% off. Look at this. Light it up 10%. Live. We're here for y'all, man. 10% off.
Right. Light It Up discount. All right.
Light It Up discount. Light it up it's Super Bowl weekend, my brother.
It is, man. It's hard to believe. Already here.
I know. Super Bowl weekend. I'm ready. I got father-in-law coming over, and I'm going to go ahead and barbecue, man. We're going to hang out.
Yeah.
And man, I'm going to do some barbecue, and I got to fix his car. And then we're going to be watching some Super Bowl, man.
Super Bowl.
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
That's cool. I bet he'll enjoy that. You know what I'm saying? Coming over, hanging out with the fellas. Cause you know, I know when I get older, I just want to go over and watch a football game, hang out with the fellas. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, man. You guys don't forget, if you're over there on Facebook, man, the chat is interactive. If you want to interact with the show, go on Facebook and you can interact with the show just like my mama. Here's mama. Hi, mama. Mama checking in, says hi, John and Josh, just like that, if you guys want to interact with the show. But got us a spotlight today, brother.
I do.
You do?
Well, I do. Because, see, wait a minute. I need my music, man. You know what I'm saying?
No, but I can't wait. Music, you cannot man. Do it, boy. That's it.
Hold on. Let me put my other headphone. There we go. Come on. Let me hear it.
It's time for Josh's Spotlight.
Okay.
You know what time we both start moving.
What time it is.
It's time for Josh's Spotlight.
You know, you roll it to the horns play, right? You know what I mean? There they are. Oh, so funky you can smell it.
What you got for Josh's Spotlight today, brother?
Well, my spotlight, I'm going to tie it into the Super Bowl a little bit because, you know, Super Bowl is actually important to me, not just because of the football game, but my oldest son was born on Super Bowl Sunday. And like while the game was going on too, they had a TV playing in the corner and I swear I heard touchdown and the baby was born and you know what I mean? And it was the Patriots playing that year too. And they were in the Super Bowl. They won because Tom Brady was part of their show, you know, but it's just, I don't know. When I think of the Super Bowl, I think of my oldest son. And I just celebrated his birthday yesterday because, you know, sometimes it falls on weird days, you know, Super Bowl Sunday. But, my spotlight is, you know, sometimes events like that, Super Bowl or going to an amusement park, you know what I'm saying? They have a lot more meaning than just that. Like, I remember when we was here the first time and done it, you know what I mean? So that's a part of my spotlight. The other part of my spotlight I wanted to do was people who, this has to do with gaming. And it has to do with a part of video games that has nothing to do with the game at all. You know what I mean? It's your friends.
Yeah.
Your friends, man. Like a lot of people think that if you have an online gaming friend, that's not a real friend. Well, I beg to differ, man. You know what I mean? Over the years, I've had quite a few. I've met quite a few of them in real life, and they've been awesome people. So I think parents that don't mind, as long as the kid's doing what they're supposed to do on their free time, if they let them game, I think that's awesome, man. You know what I mean? It's something that makes them feel good. They achieve things. They you know, obstacles, puzzles. They do all these things. And they got friends, especially a lot of kids today. They don't play outside like we did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't meet each other, man. They don't really have friends. They have siblings, and they're never friends. So I think it's a good thing, man, to let your kids game. Not all the time. You know what I mean? Everything's in moderation because in too much. And there's some games they shouldn't play at all. You know what I mean? Like, man, I never let my kid play any of the Grand Theft Auto series or anything crazy like that. But he made a lot of good friends. You know what I mean? And he just went to go visit one now for his birthday little weekend. He flew away to Louisiana to see his buddy. That, you know what I'm saying? That. So that's my spotlight, man. I know it really don't pertain to, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, that's the new spotlight. You talk what you want to talk about, brother. Yeah, whatever's on your heart. That's our spotlight.
God bless Call of Duty. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Just love it.
Well, man, we got a really cool special guest sitting in the green room, man. This is the guy that's coming up. Like I said, he's a sports commentator, broadcaster. I'm gonna let him tell his story. He goes out and he speaks to the youth. He does some motivational speaking for the youth. And I think it's about time that we bring up Mr. LaShawn Pryor coming to the show tonight. Guys, so you guys give it up for Mr. LaShawn Pryor. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, my man, I am so excited to be here with both of you guys. I appreciate it very much.
Hey, man, my brother.
Awesome. I'm welcome to the show.
And it was just fate, man. When I seen you on that page, man, I was like, boy, I started watching you, man. Like, there's something about this dude, man. And then when I heard your voice, I'm like, come on, man. That's your real voice, bro.
I get that the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Huh?
He's like, I was auto-tuned before it was cool.
So talk to us, man. You do motivational speaking for youth, right? But before we get into that, man, what's your story, LaShawn? Can we hear your story, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. So the story we discussed, the story to tell, you know, I guess it goes back because the event starts around the age of either 35 or 36, which is funny that I don't technically remember, but I guess that's what makes it interesting. I used to play arena football. I love football, man. Football is sports in general, for me, I view it as the great equalizer. You know, when no matter what it is, when you're engaged in sport, you're out there, everybody is equal and you're doing what you're doing. You know, there may be people that are a little bit more talented, but, you know, you're all wearing that same jersey. And I love it. I was playing football and I played well into my 30s. I was about the age, like I say, about 35 or 36 ish, somewhere in there, when I was asleep. I was a single man inside of my apartment right here in Oklahoma. And I awoke in the middle of the night believing I was being robbed. I thought somebody had their knee on my chest. So I'm freaking out, man. I'm swinging, dude. You know, I'm like, dude, I got to get this cat off of me. I got to get up, you know. Shortly after, I realized there was not anybody there. The pressure didn't go away, but there was no one there. And I crawled out of my bed. I crawled up to my living room. I'm like, man, I got to figure something out. In the end, I played tough guy. And I was like, I'm going to go to the doctor in the morning. I fell back to sleep on my living room floor. I woke up on my living room floor. I took myself to the doctor. And that is where I found out that I had had a heart attack. That's what all the pressure was. Shortly thereafter, I was in surgery. I was in the cath lab. I had my first cardiac ablation surgery because I found out that I have AFib. So I had cardiac ablation. I got my implant put into my chest. I mean, this is a lot happening really fast all at once. Again, you know, I'm a single guy. I have a very young son with my ex-wife at the time. And I am just like, holy cow. Post that came the realization that my career playing sports was done. You know, there was nowhere for me to go with that. And I will tell you, for anybody out there who has been involved in sports, you know that when it's taken away, not of your volition, you know, you're not leaving your boots in the wrestling ring and, you know, you're not taking your jersey off and leaving it at the 50-yard line. The choice is made for you. There is a part of acceptance with that that is very difficult. And I found myself in a dark place. I was like, wow, you know, I'm a wounded lion, you know, and I found myself fighting the battle with depression because I felt like I had lost my purpose. Now I had a normal adult job at all, but you know, my purpose was gone and, I didn't know what to do with myself. And it took some time before a gentleman by the name of Chris Dodson popped up. And Chris Dodson operated, I think he just stopped, the Southern Sports Network. And he approached me and he knew I was down. He knew I wasn't doing great. You know, I'm just kind of just heading through the motions. And he said, Sean, he said, do you think that you could color commentate a football game? I said, I was like, get out of here. You know, and he's like, you got the voice, you could do it. And if you guys are familiar with Tom Brady, when he first started in the booth, he was pointy. He was pointy. He was rough. And I was pointy. I was rough. It was not perfect. And but he hung in there with me. You know, he knew that I needed him and I needed that as much as I needed anything. And you want to talk about going to therapy. That's the therapy, is because I started to have this realization that I'm calling these high school football games. And, you know, I think to an outsider who doesn't have a kid that's playing, you know, you're like, you know, this is some Friday night high school football, dude. Some varsity kids, you know, who cares? It's not a big deal. When you start to get down to the brass tacks of it, you find that purpose exists because, you know, when it's senior night and those kids are playing for the last time and they listen back to that, you know, that recording and they hear your voice and you try to call that game like they're in the Super Bowl, that's their memory.
Yeah.
And when grandpa and grandma who can't make it out to the games, you know, they get to watch, you know, at home and they hear your voice and you're calling the game because you're like, here he is. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's at the 25. And they get sucked into it. And they feel,
man,
like,
did he get a touchdown, bro? Don't do that. Come on, man. You know, he was in the 25.
You know, well, and there's something about it. You know, there's something that's so intrinsic, you know, because you get to hear that voice and there he is. He's at the 5. He's going to make it in. Mason Dunn with a touchdown. I don't know who Mason Dunn is, you know, but
he done it. That's for sure.
Yeah. But, you know, and you realize that it's bigger than you. You know, it isn't about you. It isn't about what you're doing. And I found my sense of purpose had returned in the sports sphere. And from there, I got very blessed because now I'm a sports writer. I'm a sports analyst for a couple of different stations. You know, it opened up a lot of doors, but I think that the biggest part of it, wait, I'm sorry. I can't stop right there. This will be news to several people. We'll fast forward to 2023. I'm still doing my thing and I wanted to be a mascot. Okay. We have the Oklahoma City Dodgers AAA baseball team here in Oklahoma City, which is now, by the way, the Oklahoma Comets, named aptly after Mickey Mantle, Commerce Comet. So I went out and I put in my app, you know, I said, I want to be the mascot. And when they put their eyes on me, they said, you know, I'm about 6'3", 6'4", is probably about 300 pounds at that time. They were like, brother, you are not getting in this suit. They were like, there is nothing in here for you. They're like, this thing is going to smell like ham by the time you get done with this suit. They said, but I got something else. He said, how are you on a mic? And I said, I've been around a mic for a while. And I ended up auditioning and I became the host for the Oklahoma City Dodgers. I was one of a few different people that did it and was an absolute blast. So that was done on what's now FanDuel Network now. And I got to do that. Yeah. But the story morphs because towards the end of the season, I'm in the dugout where we run out from to get out in front of the camera. And this young lady named Brady is absolutely amazing. Brady was looking at me and she said, are you okay? And I couldn't really gather myself. And she said, after we're done with this TV hit, she said, I think you need to go home. And I sprinted out there. I felt terrible. I was pouring sweat. We did this TV hit. It was great. I went back. I had my second heart attack in the dugout at Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark. And it was another life setback, obviously. I have some permanent damage to my heart. I have congestive heart failure, I have found, which is not fun. But it was a reminder, you know, I mean, it was that I can't take this for granted, that I'm blessed. Yeah. Most people don't survive the first heart attack, let alone the fact that here I am, I've had two. Absolutely. And you know, we fast forward to now, and I try to use what I guess is now my blessing, what I went through as an athlete, to try to mentor, to offer stewardship and guidance to others before they even get there, because it could be an ACL, you know, it could be something else, you know, it could be that your heart stops, like our guy from, you know, it could be absolutely anything. And so I love to. It would be easy for me to say, poor me, and I hate that this happened, but I realize that, you know, sometimes you got to carry a torch, man. You know, it may be hot and maybe you didn't want to carry it, but I realized that it was my opportunity to offer stewardship and guidance and love to other people who have been there and say, you know, this is not your end. This is just a different beginning.
Let's go. Amen, brother. Amen. Now, when you look back on your life before your first heart attack, Sean, what was your mindset and how were you living differently then than you do today?
You want me to answer that honestly?
Yeah.
If I answered that honestly, I'd say if I look back at Mr. Pryor then, I would describe him as kind of a jerk.
He was kind of a jerk.
I was kind of full of myself. You know, I thought I was a pretty cool guy. I was nowhere near as appreciative or as, I'm not going to say that I wasn't a kind person. I was just conceited.
Ego?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, brother. No, I couldn't fit that thing through the door. I was like, pardon me. My head hit through here, duck.
Was you standing there? I didn't see you.
Yes.
And what goes through your mind, man, when you survive something that many people don't? That had to really affect you, brother.
What goes through your mind? You know, the first time, I kind of assumed at first I was going to die. And I think that's why I just went to my living room and I just laid down. It was almost like watching, for those of you that are people of my age that can remember, what is that show? We used to send the guy in Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom when I was a kid, and he would send that guy in and he would get tore up by an animal, and then they'd be like, he'd be like, well, let's hope, you know, that he paid for his Mutual of Omaha. I can't remember his name, but I was kind of like the zebra, you know, like I knew that the lion was coming or something, and I kind of just gave up. That was hard. And I think that there's a element of like a give up, an element of poor pity me. You have so many different things that just kind of go through your head. And again, like I say, on the second one, I was in a much better place mentally to be able to understand, accept it, know what my body was doing, kind of, move forward, I guess.
Yeah. Now, I bet. Was there a moment where you realized your survival had a purpose, man? It was beyond just you.
I talk about this all the time, man. I will be 45 years old this year. And I am not a guy that tries to quote scripture at any time because I'm not good at it. But there is a story where I remember it says he emerged. He came from the pig pen and he came to himself. I don't feel like I came to myself and who I am today until probably the age of 40, and came to a level of appreciation and understanding, and understanding that that there's more. You know what I mean? That the purpose is more than what I originally thought.
Yeah, man. Because now, man, you're out there, you're speaking to the youth, and I think it's because it's kind of in a different way now. Because if you had stayed in arena football, if you wouldn't have had those heart attacks, you know what I mean, you might have been talking to them in a different way. You know what I mean, still as a ball player, but I think there's a more important message that you're giving them now. It's a message of resilience. It's a message of strength. You know, of hope, of never giving up, you know. So I think there's a wonderful, wonderful lesson in there, man. That's got to be real, real satisfying to speak to the youth.
Well, like you said, too, when you was, you know, doing the games and the grandparents were listening. I mean, you gave them people, then people were probably like, wow, this is like a really important game. I mean, listen to this, man. This sounds like you put them in the game. And I really like that part of your story that you was talking earlier. You know what I mean? So
I appreciate that. That's one of those things that, so I spoke, my son is, he's 17, and I spoke at his high school and I spoke to his broadcasting class. And that's one of the things that I talked to them about is, you know, you hear people say, I think in drama and in theater, there's no small roles, you know? And I think that for a lot of people, when they start out in broadcasting, they probably start the same way. You know, they probably start where they're calling high school games or like middle school games. And I think for some people, there's that thought of, you know, this is small, you know, this is nothing. And the deep appreciation that I found when I started, and even more so, you know, with a kid at his age, you know, the appreciation for what I can give to them. They can't give me anything. You know, there's nothing that those kids can give me. But if I can give them, and then, like I said, grandparents and parents and people that are listening, if I can give them something special, you know, especially in high school, because how many kids are not going to go to college? How many kids are not going to be your D1 athletes, D2, your NAIA? A lot of kids aren't going to get an offer. And when they take that helmet and those pads off for the last time, that's it. And so for me, if I know that I play a hand in making that special, man, that's my purpose. That's my gift. That's what I'm supposed to do, you know.
Hey, man, man. So
still part of the game, too.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Absolutely. That's a huge part of the game, man. And then you're out there talking to these youth, man. What do young people need to hear that they're not hearing enough of right now? You know what I mean? What are you noticing out there, man? Or are you not noticing anything?
Man, if there's one thing that I notice a lot, especially when I come to games, there's always circumstances. Everybody has different circumstances. Kids are so hungry for their parents' attention, to see you at games, to see someone cheering for them, to feel appreciated. I'm almost emotional talking about this. This is crazy.
Come on, man. Yeah, absolutely, man.
You know, kids are so hungry for that. And there's so many kids that I watch, they walk off the field and there isn't a big hug. You know, there isn't somebody, you know, beside coach, you know, that's slapping them on the shoulder or whatever. And there is a need for more involvement. I'm born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. You know, there are a lot of things that you can find on the streets with your buddies, this and that, when you don't have a mentor, a mother, a father, a grandparent, whatever it is, you know, that is giving you stewardship and guidance and keeping you on the right path. And so often I see kids that feel alone. And, you know, it's interesting. One of my favorite things that I say to kids, especially when I have them on a one-on-one type of deal, because there's always some kid after I talk that like runs up to me and they want to talk, is I always say, I'm proud of you. I have had grown men. I have had kids that get emotional because they haven't had someone tell them, I'm proud of you. And in months, weeks, years, you know, and it's the reinforcement that they're loved, that they're appreciated, that someone's proud of them, that they have value. We need
those are big words, man.
Yeah,
those are big words. I can share a little experience of mine. I was an alcoholic addict for over 30 years, and now I've been clean and sober for 5 years. And when my oldest son, my 31-year-old, when he looked at me and he said, "Dad, I'm proud of you." Oh, man, when your son tells you that, man, and after you put him through so much, and for him to say that to me, man, that was so powerful. Now, Josh, Sean hasn't told you yet, this man has had two heart attacks. AFib.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. This man's running 5Ks.
Yeah.
This man is out there running 5Ks. I couldn't run 5 yards probably.
And man, I'm barely running the bathroom.
You know what I'm saying? Running 5Ks. Now tell me, Sean, when you cross that finish line now, what does it mean now compared to before all the heart attacks and the struggle? I bet it means a lot more now when you cross that finish line now, when you run that 5K.
If you Google congestive heart failure, it openly tells you right there in the first line that there's no technical cure, right? There's not a technical cure for that. It can be slowed down. I take Entresto. I take a handful of pills every day if I'm keeping it 100. But, you know, there's different meds that help you to manage it. And there's four stages. There's A, B, C, and D, right? D is when things get really hard. You know, when the further into D that you get, you know, that's when you see people that are on oxygen and your quality of life suffers. As I sit here in front of you today, I am at the start of C. And, you know, my cardiologist, we had a very frank conversation just a couple months ago. And I told him that I want to get back into running 5Ks. And he said, today, right now, at this moment, is the best you're going to feel compared to how you're going to feel later. So if you can, do. And so I'm in some groups on Facebook for people that have congestive heart failure. And there are people that are younger than me that are at a far more advanced stage. There are people that are older than me. I posted some screenshots the other day of people. There was one person that said that, you know, I am in the hospital. I'm in really bad shape. I'm at the end. I'm not going to mess with my phone anymore. I just want to say goodbye to you guys. Thank you for being my support system in this Facebook group. And so for me, I honor other people by getting up off my butt and running. In my mind, I honor myself because I can. I honor people that can't. I don't take any step, and look, I can't sprint through a 5K, right? That ain't going to happen, but it does not happen. But I run, I jog, I walk, I trot, but I finish, you know, average about.
Make it. Let's go. Minutes.
Yeah. Let's yeah. Go. Make it happen. And I feel like, for me, that is when there will come a day where I can't, you know, but until that day comes, I got to keep the feet moving. I got to keep going because it is my controllable. It is the one thing that I know every day I can control.
Hey man, this, you hear that, Josh? Yeah. Your brother's running, running 5Ks, man. Can you run a 5K, Josh?
I can't if there's like a dog I don't know chasing me. You know what I mean? Like, I can run if there's a dog. You know what I mean?
And but then, to run, I'm still gonna get bit because I'm not running 5 miles, bro. I ain't gonna lie. I'm not in bad shape either, but I'll get winded, man.
Bro, if you're running from a dog for 5 miles, you're doing it wrong. You got to climb things, people's cars, houses. You got to climb, bro. Dogs can't get up nothing, you know. And if you want to get them high jumpers, just pray to Jesus, you know, just run 5 miles because you're done.
Okay, Sean, I know you. Pre-show, I know you said that you're more about college than you are about professional football, man. You know, we're gonna talk a little bit of football before I get you off of here, man. We're gonna talk a little bit of football, man. I'm a Florida State Seminole fan.
Man, that man gave me that. He gave me that Vincent Price laugh, boy. I'm telling you what, he's like, yeah.
That was not nice. Man, we need help, Sean. We need help.
My wife is the biggest Nebraska football fan that I know. And I bring this up because she was so hurt when she found out that Tony White, the defensive coordinator for Nebraska, was picking up and headed down there to work with the Noles. And I said, here's my concern. I said, Norvell's got a lot going on. There's a lot of things. That
a lot of losing.
There's a lot going on down there. And no matter how good the quarterback is and how good things are, I said, I think that there's going to be some issues. I think that the system is broken. And when I heard that it would cost somewhere in the range of $100 million to let him and the whole staff go, I said, you know what? Wow. I said, them Noles fans, you got a little while to wait, brother. You got a little bit of time to wait. So I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say.
I was so hopeful. Sean, I was so hopeful. We started the season off good, like the first two games. I was already on that. We're back.
He was a Dallas Cowboys fan. He said, it's our year. Yep.
Now we got Super Bowl weekend, brothers. Super Bowl weekend. I know you said you're more about college, man, but you got any inside scoop, man?
I got nothing. You know what I mean? Literally, I got nothing. I absolutely, like I say, I do not keep up with the NFL, which always shocks people when I say I'm a sportscaster, and they're like, well, how do you just totally not? But I am here, being here in Oklahoma, you know, we didn't have the Thunder here always, right? And so there was no professional sports. And Oklahoma and Oklahoma State were the order of the day. And so a lot of my time, and by the way, hook 'em horns. I am a Texas fan. I will tell you, I got a burnt orange Camaro that sits in my garage, man. I have drank the Kool-Aid. I am bought in. I have been down since the major Applewhite era. I mean, I love my horns, which is crazy being here in Oklahoma. But, you know, I said this earlier, I think before we were on, there's a certain purity in college football. You know,
there is.
We can discuss NIL and
we're losing some.
Well, we can talk transfer portal and NIL.
Yeah, man. These kids are millionaires, Sean, before they even get to the Super Bowl.
Well, you know, here's my thing, right? We can't put the genie back in the bottle. I think we know that, you know, as soon as that first check got cut, you knew that we couldn't undo this, right?
Nope.
Whether we agree with NIL, whether we agree with the transfer portal. I can remember how much easier my job was as a sportscaster when I could watch a player from the time they were a freshman until the time that they decided to declare for the draft. And I could watch and I could report on their progression and how much they've changed and what's going on. And then here I am here today. I'm just waiting to see where they're going to go and what their NIL valuation is. You know, it is very difficult. With that said, I think that, again, we can't close Pandora's box. I think we just have to learn how to deal with it and how to work alongside it. And it can be hard. especially, you know, for those of us that are purists. You know, I think about Big Bertha and all those things at Texas, that a lot of these kids, while they'll know it exists, well, then they may play there for 1 year and then they're gone and it didn't mean anything to them. For me, you know, I'm still old school. It just,
Me too. I can't stand how they get paid. I mean, I could get it. Like if it's your likeness, if it's like, if you got a jersey and people wearing it, I get that. I think that's okay. They should be able to get paid for that, but being millionaires in the college quite literally going out and looking for the best quarterback, and the quarterbacks are literally going to the teams that will pay them the most. And people are literally buying a good team in college. And I got a problem with that, man. It changed it completely. And I don't like it. My Seminoles are bad. My Seminoles are bad, and it that makes it worse for me, because we ain't got the money to go out there and get the good players, Sean, because we're still horrible. It's been tough. It's been tough being a Seminole fan, Sean.
But it's going to be sweet. But it's going to be sweet when it all gets figured out, right?
And also, 10 years, $100 million later.
Also, is your team still suing to try to get out of their conference, or have they decided to just be still?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not the conference, Sean. It's the coach. I can't stick up for him anymore. I stuck up for him for a while. And I just can't. We had one. He had one winning season. That's because he was riding the coattails of Fisher. That's it. He's had a losing season every single season since.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Something just arbitrary. So I see your chat over here, and I saw it when he said it, and I was telling the story, but that Andrew Balling said that, I feel this from experience. It always hurts a little bit, but I always love when I see that, just because I know that Andrew has walked that road, you know, and you've had to try to find that peace, you know, you've had to try to find the, where do I go from here? And, you know, it can be so frustrating, but just every time I tell that story, there's somebody that pops up without fail that says, hey, that happened to me. You know, hey, you know, I blew my knee out. I just, every single time. So I hope that Andrew is in a good place as well, because I feel you.
And that's why we do this, right? Whether if it's that's why when me and you spoke before, that's what I was talking about. When it don't, somebody's story, when they get up and share their story, their testimony. A testimony doesn't always have to be about addiction. A testimony doesn't always have to be about DV. A testimony doesn't always have to be about an alcoholic. You know, a testimony is your testimony. Your story matters, and it's going to reach somebody. It really is. I mean, look at you, Sean. Now you're out there running 5Ks. You're sharing your story. You're talking to people. You're letting people know, hey, there's still a life after this. If you eat right, if you worry about your fitness and you pay attention, you could still live a fruitful, wonderful life. And you're out there talking to these kids too, because I think if you start talking to them young, you know, maybe they'll treat their bodies better when they get out there and they're not defensive linemen or an offensive lineman getting banged around. Maybe they'll pay a little bit better attention to their bodies. You know what I mean? So I thank you for coming on with us, my brother. I'm glad you did. I look forward to the future with us, man. I'd love to work together. Sean's got a podcast. You want to plug your podcast, brother?
I would absolutely love to. I am the host of Prior to the Snap. You guys know my story. I do that with two other people. My awesome wife, Cassie, who is she is the most knowledgeable person that I know about women's basketball. Both college, WNBA, and Unrivaled. She is also the biggest Nebraska football fan. She can tell you everything that happened from the 90s till now. I also host the show with a guy named Joe Corley. He is a former Roughneck at the University of Oklahoma. He's been out there on the field with all of the greats. He is amazing. As a trio, we bring a lot of information. And if I can say this part lastly, I'm currently in the process of what I'm calling the Coach's Hour of Power, where I spend an hour with coaches at different levels. We are about to have a coach on, a former assistant coach with the Baltimore Ravens. We've had high school coaches on. It's been an absolute blessing to sit down with coaches and do exactly this. They tell their story. They talk about things that young people need to know, and they bring stewardship and guidance and information on life in general, sports, and life after. So,
hey, man, bro, that's amazing. I know Josh and myself, we look forward to working with you in the future, man, bounce off each other. And I really look forward to it, man. I'm glad you came on with us, man. I'm glad we got to meet, and we're going to put out that college sports bat signal. Now, when it comes time to college season, man, when I need to talk about it, I'm going to put out that bat signal, man. Get you right. on the show when it comes to college.
I'm about to brush up on my stats, because, I mean, the only sports I watch is hockey and UFC, you know what I mean? So I'm not even, I'm like, football, damn, I got to watch that, you know? I do get an itch to play some football. Madden every now and then, though. You know what I mean? Like, I like that's, some Madden.
My mama's chiming in, LaShawn. That's my mama. She's at home. She watches every show, and she says, LaShawn, your story was so inspiring. My mama's 2 years old, and she sits home. She doesn't miss a show. And so that's mama reaching out to you, brother.
I can't tell you how much that means to me. I truly appreciate that. And this goes to prove to anybody that's listening, especially young people I touched on earlier, as I said, it means something when people say that they're proud of you. The fact that she doesn't miss a show, you're a grown man, but she's still Amen. Proud of you. So Amen, I hope brother. I hope that reaches out to everybody, that I want to say to everybody Amen. That can hear my voice, I am proud of you. If you haven't heard it in a week, in a month, in a year, I'm proud of you. Keep going. Whatever it looks like for you, don't stop. Keep going. You are valued. We need you in this world.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, it's time for my final thoughts. Tonight, we heard a story about survival, but more than that, we heard a story about purpose. LaShawn's journey reminds us that sometimes the moments that almost break us are the very moments that reveal who we really are. Two heart attacks, heart failure, fear, uncertainty. The kind of moments that make you stop and ask hard questions about life, about time, and about what really matters. And yet, what stands out isn't just that he survived. It's what he chose to do after. He chose to keep moving. He chose to keep believing. He chose to turn the pain into purpose and struggle into a message that helps other people stand back up. And that's part I hope everyone listening to tonight understands. Your setback is not your ending. Your diagnosis is not your identity. Your hardest season may actually be preparing you for the platform God is going to use in your life. Because resilience isn't pretending life isn't hard. Resilience is waking up, trusting God anyway, and taking the next step even when you're scared. Some of you listening tonight feel like your heart is tired, maybe not physically, but emotionally or spiritually. Maybe life hasn't gone the way you planned. But if tonight proves anything, it's this. As long as you're still here, God isn't finished writing your story. So don't let your limitations define you. Let your faith define what's possible. Thank you for spending this time with us tonight. And remember, sometimes survival isn't just about making it through. It's about becoming someone who helps others believe they can too. That's my final thoughts.
Amen, bro.
Amen, amen. Amen. So you got any final thoughts yourself there, Mr. Carpenter?
Not me, buddy. I gave you all my thoughts. You know what I mean? You guys
gave
started
them
talking,
all, man.
Like
you
I said,
all thought it out.
You guys started talking sports, and I kind of was like, okay. You know, sorry, man. Yeah.
How about you, Mr. Pryor? You got any final thoughts for the people?
I have one. Every time I interview a guest on my show or anywhere, I always end by saying to them, if you had a message that you could give to the world, this is your platform, whatever it is that you want to say, what would you say? And nobody's ever asked me. And you know what I would say?
What would you say?
I would say exactly what I said earlier, is that you matter, that you have purpose, that your life exists for a reason. And for a lot of people, you don't know what your purpose is yet. You know, your moment, your event has not yet happened. But when it does, you're going to know exactly that you're in the right place at the right time, that you have everything that you need so that you can be great, and that you're going to be awesome. And that would be my message, that for some people, man, that light hasn't even shone as bright as it's going to be. But when it does, I hope you're ready and I hope you harness it.
Come on, man. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for hanging out with us, man. It's been an absolute pleasure. You guys, don't forget to go to YouTube. Check us out on YouTube, man. Hit that subscribe button for us at Light It Up Live in the search bar. Tomorrow, we're going to be rebroadcasting on iHeartRadio. And you guys, do me a favor and remember that your rope's longer than you think. God's rope, it has no end. And hold on tight. Stories of grace, hope redefined. Heart to heart, let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Let's lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Welcome home to Light It Up Live. Lift our eyes. Welcome home to Light It Up Live.